Hello and welcome to the Valley Church Duncan podcast. My name is Wes Lindy and I'm the lead pastor of Valley Church. I'm happy you've joined us today. If you'd like to continue getting our podcast, consider subscribing to our channel. For more information about our church, you can check out our website at www.thevalleychurch.ca. And now let's take you right into the sermon.
So here's some history for you. We're going to start with a little bit of history. 3 years ago today, this weekend, it was August 7th, 3 years ago, but this weekend, 3 years ago, I preached on this psalm at Southridge, our supporting church. I purposely did that. It wasn't just a coincidence. I purposely did that because it's a mixtape, the Psalms Summer mixtape, so we can kind of not have to do things in order. We're just picking and choosing some of the psalms. But it was the same weekend in August. It was my last Sunday as a pastor there. I remember announcing this, and this is just a funny thing to be remembering, and just that you are aware, because you weren't there. Today is my last Sunday, our last message at Southridge, the last Sunday with you being our associate pastor of connection and community. And tomorrow, so it would have been August 8th, I start as the lead pastor of Valley Church in Duncan, before it even started. That was just a really kind of fun history thing to be thinking about, and why I chose this today was because of that. And I must say, I'm so very happy to be 3 years later, to be seeing what has happened with this church. It is incredible. So many lives have been changed. So many stories of life transformation has been shared. And these stories, your lives, were likely different 3 years ago today, weren't they? Just imagine, just to think back. So let's start with you thinking about that specifically. Where were you 3 years ago today? Just to think about that. Where were you 3 years ago today? Which church did you go to? Some of you had a church that you went to. Did you even go to church 3 years ago? That might be your story. Did you know Jesus at all? Some of you have decided to follow Jesus since we've been a church. It's a pretty fun perspective for me to line this on this Sunday because of these things in our summer mixtape series for the Psalms. So you ready for this? You ready? Okay, let's pray and let's continue. So let's pray together. Jesus, we enter into Psalm 145 and look forward to hearing from you today. May you show us how sharing our stories is powerful. Sharing our stories is meaningful both to us and our hearers. We pray that as we talk about how you transform our lives and make them new again, that we would feel and sense a new freshness of your presence today. It is in your name we pray. Amen. So for most of us here, someone has told us about Jesus and how to have a relationship with him. For most of us, that is the case. It could have been a family member, it could have been a parent, it could have been a podcast, a movie, a dream, a billboard, but someone, somehow, the message got through to you if you follow him today. However, have you thought about this? What if no one told you about Jesus? What if no one told you about Jesus, or you had no curiosity about Jesus? My Aunt Elizabeth was the first person to tell me about Jesus in entirety. It was Christmas Day, and she told me about Jesus. It was also my teacher, Mr. Cowan, my electronics teacher, inside the old high school here in Cowichan Secondary, that lended me the Jesus video and took a risk and said, I've got this video about Jesus. Would you like to borrow it? And it was in that video that I made my final commitment to Jesus. You see, these people told me about Jesus because of what Christ did in them. That's where it started. There was something for them that was passed on to them, and then they passed it on to me. God worked through them to get to me, and they were part of sharing their life story of life transformation with me. Yes, sharing our stories of life transformation is one of our core values, if you've seen that on our website or if you've heard us talk about it before. I remember my sister when I got back from CIT at Camp Kwanos and observing the difference Jesus made in my life, barging into my bedroom crying and asking me, whatever I've got, she also wants. So I shared Jesus with her, and she decided to follow Jesus that day. But why bother telling these stories, right? Why bother? They're just stories. They're just things that happened. But why do this? It's because we need to talk about the acts of God in our life to the next generations. There is a benefit to future lives being changed for eternity by sharing our stories of life transformation so that people won't just know about Jesus, but by sharing our stories, they will know Jesus. They will see how he works. Then when they see how he works, they will see that he is also real. I often think about these two things in Revelation, just when I think about sharing our stories, how Revelation explains how we have overcome the evil one by two things. First, the blood of the Lamb, Jesus. We overcome the evil one by Jesus, but also the word of our testimony, our changed life, our story, your story overcomes the evil one. So this seems pretty important, doesn't it? Today we're going to read all of Psalm 145. However, we will focus on a couple of verses that are really important to the makeup of this psalm that I think we can stay in and we can really learn from today. So let's read through Psalm 145. So if you have a Bible, you can turn to it. It will be on the screen. If you don't have a Bible, there are free Bibles, or you can borrow it or take it home. They're in the lobby there if you want to run back and grab one to follow along with our message today. So this is, we're going to break off into three parts later, but first we're going to read through all of Psalm 145. So let's read this together. It says, I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. So as I said before, there's three sections that we're going to look at. The first is the first seven verses, and then the next section is the next bunch of verses, and then we're going to have the third section is just one verse at the end. So the first is the command to tell. It starts with praise in the first three verses, as you see, to praise, to extol, to declare his greatness. Then comes the directives that we are to do, to commend his work, to tell of his mighty acts, to speak about his majesty and splendor, to meditate, to ponder, to think through his works, to tell of his power, to proclaim his great deeds, to celebrate his goodness, and sing of his righteousness. I was journaling on a day of prayer one day by myself, and I had this distinct thought, a call from God, as what I believed it to be, to share my life journey more with people. It was very distinct. It was a very distinct thought in my mind, and because I wasn't bringing people into my own personal walk with Christ enough, I believe God put that on my heart, that I was publicly being a pastor, but I wasn't actually sharing what God was doing in my personal life. So I felt that God was pressing on my heart that my role as a follower of Christ was meant to bring people along with me for a prayer day, not just to do this on my own, not just for myself. Although there was benefit for myself, of course. So the next time I did a prayer day, what did I do? I brought anybody I could. I brought anybody I could because I felt that God was pressing this on my heart, and I felt I needed to bring people along with me. The command to tell means we need to have people along with us for the ride. We have to have people with us as we tell. Proclaiming deeds means there is someone on the other end to hear about the great deeds. So we need to be in community with other people so that we can tell. We need to be able to tell people about his great deeds and his mighty acts. We must not overthink and put unrealistic expectations on ourselves that we need to say something specific to be good at strategizing or even be trained in evangelism, although those are important things. We just need to get telling, to let it come out of from our heart for Jesus. As long as we do have a heart for Jesus, I assume that a lot of us do, to say, I have a heart for Jesus and therefore I'm convinced and I must tell, to talk about his work, to speak about his greatness, to celebrate the goodness of God with others. That is, there is a reason why we follow Jesus as opposed to not follow Jesus, because we've committed to him and there's that, but there is a goodness in following Jesus. To celebrate the goodness of God with others, even sing about it. As we see in the passage, which is easy enough for us to do here, maybe a little more awkward if you're at the grocery store and you decide to burst out into song. Maybe they'll think you're in a musical, like, where's the cameras? Like, am I in a musical all of a sudden? It's just people are singing. But to sing about it, to say, yeah, when I sing, I believe this to be true, that God is good, that I will magnify Christ. We need to allow our love for Jesus, our experience of Jesus, which is not debatable, our experience of Jesus. You can say, well, I've experienced Jesus. That's true. To be used by Jesus to strengthen the church of the present as well as the church of the future. So when it comes to evangelism, reaching out to others, sharing our faith in Jesus with others, sharing the good news of Jesus from our story, it starts with our transformed life, but it ends with a proclamation of Jesus. It's both. It starts with our transformed life, and we reach into our lives being transformed, and there's something different about us now because we live for Jesus, and then proclaiming that to others to say, I believe in Jesus so much, I must tell others about Jesus. Which means we must allow Jesus to continually transform our lives, to ask him to transform our lives, to invite him into transforming our lives and to changing us, that we should be doing that regularly, possibly daily. That would be a good thing. It doesn't have to be daily, but to regularly ask him to change us, not just change us once, many years ago that I once decided to follow Jesus, but no, every day, all the time, regularly asking him to change us. And surrendering to Christ regularly will give us fresh stories, won't it? If we're regularly giving ourselves to Jesus and saying, Jesus, today I give myself to you, that you're going to end up seeing these stories and you'll be able to use them out of your personal relationship with Jesus, which is for us, but he has bigger plans. That is not just for us, that it is for others, like I shared about my journaling and prayer days a second ago. So let me ask you this as we ponder this first section. When have you been commanded to tell? When have you felt a command to tell somebody else about Jesus? Was there a moment where you gulped and you knew it was time and you knew you needed to share? Maybe you felt that gulp but didn't because you didn't feel prepared or ready. Oh, that's not me. I'm too scared. Or, that's I just can't do that. I've never done it before. What was that moment like? What message did you tell? Maybe there wasn't a message. To help us move along in this, I want us to give us three things that I think would really help us in surrendering and confessing and standing firm and using our story to share about Jesus. So here's the telling. Can start with surrender. So we can surrender to Jesus. That's one thing we can do right away. We can be like, okay, I don't know how to share. I don't know what to say, but I will just start with surrendering. And when we surrender, we remember what Galatians 2:20 says, and Ben Laird has preached on this before in our church, that I have been crucified with Christ and that I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That we surrender because now I'm living for Jesus. The second thing is to confess. Because we know if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1:9. That he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins. So we surrender to him. We confess our sins so there's nothing between us and God. And then the third thing is to stand firm. To stand firm, to live in freedom that we have in Christ. The evil one does not want us to feel that freedom, but we have complete freedom. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. That we just have to stand firm and be ready and just start going and start telling. Any one of these things that I've mentioned, if not considered, could keep us from sharing. I'm confident of that because of my own life. I can imagine not confessing sin and feeling like, I don't feel like I'm really with Jesus right now. That I haven't surrendered everything. And that I need to stand firm. I need to be confident in who I am in Christ. So focus on these things as you are going and sharing. The second part of the passage is the next section, which is verses 8 to 20. This part of the psalm explains why it is good to proclaim. The why. Why is it good to proclaim who God is and what he has done? Because he is gracious. Because he's compassionate. He's slow to anger. He's rich in love. He is good to all. And he has compassion on all he has made, including you. He is trustworthy. He satisfies the desires of every living thing. He is righteous. He is near. He is near to all who call on him, if you call on him, all who call on him in truth. And the security, the promise is he watches over all who love him. So if you love Jesus today, here today, he loves you. He watches over you. So why should we share? Because of who God is. That's why we should share. We should get telling. We need to do that, but we do it because of who God is as seen in these verses. And it should always come back to Jesus, the personal relationship we have with Jesus to show others how real he is. Because it's undeniable. I have experienced Jesus, so I will tell you about my experience of Jesus. If you have experienced Jesus and know that you've experienced Jesus, because some of you have experienced Jesus and you don't realize it, that if you feel like that, you can actually share, hey, actually, there's a coincidence here that's more than just a coincidence. That I can't just say this has just happened, that Jesus actually did this. I think I've shared this story before with you. It reaches back a number of years ago for me. I have shared it actually recently, but so I'll just mention this. There was a moment in prayer at a river in Quesnel for me where I felt distinctly that Jesus was calling me to lead a church. I can't deny it. There was just this moment where I just felt like I needed to lead a church one day. Even though I disagreed, I felt I couldn't. Especially at that time, but I just felt I am not that type of person to lead a church. I'll be an associate pastor somewhere, but I will not. I just don't think I can do it. Although deep down I would admit that I wanted to, I just didn't think I had the confidence to do it. I felt I wasn't good enough. But in that moment, words came into my head that are undeniable. It was these words, but what if I wanted to do it? What if I wanted you to do it? Would you do it for me? Believing that God put those words in my head to say, well, if God wants me to do it, I don't believe I can do it, but if he thinks I can, I should probably go for it. So in tears, I agreed. Good thing, hey? Otherwise, this would be a really funny, awkward moment of me not being a lead pastor here. Not knowing what would come out of it. I didn't know what would happen, but I trusted that he is faithful and I could trust him. I knew from my previous experiences that I could trust him because of who I knew him to be, even though I didn't really understand who I could be and that I could actually do it. So what are the reasons why you need to share what God has done or is doing in your life right now? Could it be that it's not actually about you, but it's about God and who he is and how faithful he is and how trustworthy he is, that he's always been there for you, that he will never leave you as we sung earlier. He won't. He won't fail. What are the reasons why you need to share what God has done or is doing in your life right now? Maybe there's something specific. Are you sensing that something is happening in your heart and you know that it's not a coincidence right now from the words that I'm saying? I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're thinking right now, but I can imagine that there might be somebody here that might feel that way. If you're here today and wonder if God is drawing you closer to himself for the first time or the first time in a while, talk to him. You don't need access through somebody else. I'm not a priest. You don't have to go through me to get to God. You are the royal priesthood as God's church. Go to him. Let him know how you feel right now. If you're unsure how to do that, we will help you. I want to invite you to talk with somebody. One of our pastoral team, Christy and Amanda, myself, are the ones that are here right now. We would love to help you. We would love to help you to think that through. I want to invite you to talk with somebody here at the end of our service. We would love to chat with you, the prayer team or myself. We would love to chat with you on what it would look like to really commit to Jesus in a greater way. And you will receive his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness. The third and final part is this, and this is just one verse. But it's the very end, this verse 21. This last verse is the commitment that says that my mouth, the psalmist says, my mouth will always speak in praise of the Lord as a commitment. So that through my mouth, everyone will praise his name because of my commitment to Christ. Do you feel this way today? Do you feel out of your commitment that you can share of Jesus and your commitment to him? There was a moment Christy and I realized that when we needed to leave Southridge Church in Langley and plant a new church in Duncan, it was a feeling I will never forget. It was March 2022. It was a feeling of being convinced, resolved, determined, crazy. What on earth are we about to do when we were doing this? And just very, very scared. But at the same time, being convinced and resolved and determined. We had no clue if this would even work, if this church could even come to be a church. But we knew that if God was calling us to do it, we would be disobedient if we didn't. We had to do it. We couldn't look the other way anymore. We would be disobedient if we said no. And get this, God fulfilled his promise to us from that day. You are that promise. At various times, you've come into this church, some of you from the very beginning and some of you just recently, but you are a fulfillment of that promise of God to start a new church in Duncan. You are that God-working story. You here today are the result of a commitment to start a new church in Duncan, and you are church planters as well, not just Christy and I. So will you commit to speaking praise of God to others? It could be as simple as, you know what? I was just reminded of how this church started at church on Sunday, and I need to tell you about this. Maybe it's a Christian that you're like, hey, they would understand. Maybe it's not a Christian. They're like, how do churches even start? That's often what I get from non-Christian people. They're like, don't you have to ask the Pope or something? Like, like, how do you start a new church? I get these funny conversations with people that don't understand. Maybe you can explain it to them. Well, this is what I've experienced. Will you commit to speaking praise of God to others? Maybe something specifically where God showed up in your life that is undeniable. He provided you in a way that never would have happened humanly. So what will that look for you? Where in your life will you do it? Will it be in your workplace? Like, I know some of you here have talked to people at your workplace, and some of those people have become believers in Jesus. That is amazing. We'll be at your school in the fall. Some of you that are teenagers or young adults. We'll be at your school. We'll be with your family. In the community. As you go over the community, where will this happen? For me, I am not going to back down. Everywhere I go, I plan to do this. I can't help myself. I have to. God has done some amazing things, and we should praise him for it. He's done the work. It's not any one of us individually. He has done it. We're just faithful to agreeing to what God has in his crazy plan. So I encourage you to do the same, to join in with God's work in doing that, to realize that you are actually part of God's work, even though you don't realize it, but to be more conscious of it and to run with it and to go with it. You see, your life with Jesus started with someone telling you about the acts of Jesus. It would have had to start somewhere, likely from their lives and how living for him is the best thing you can do. You were convinced, most of you were convinced and decided to follow. Now it's your turn to tell others. Jesus actually commands us to go and tell. Outside of the psalm, specifically in Matthew 28, 19 to 20, the Great Commission, Jesus says that we are to go and make disciples. It's not go and be disciples, it's go and make disciples. We are to be making disciples, not just going and being good Christians, making our good Christian clubs and our good Christian things that we do and good Christian communities. We are to go and make new disciples. Jesus also says in John 20, he says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Wow. So I am sending you. God sent our family to Duncan. That's what he did. He sent our family to Duncan. He's also sending you into the Cowichan Valley. You may have lived here for a very long time, but he is sending you into your worlds in the Cowichan Valley or wherever you find yourself if you're visiting today. So back to our first question from the beginning. What if no one told you about Jesus and how to have a relationship with him? Then you wouldn't be here today, or at least probably not. So what's your story? Everyone has got a story. Our story may be fast-paced and things are going out of control. Things are happening all the time. Or it could be stuck. And you could be feeling like, man, I just feel kind of stuck right now. But it's still your story. There's still a reason for it. We may not understand it, but there could be a reason what you're learning. Maybe you feel like you're in a valley. Things are dark. You're not sure where to turn. And you'd like to get that mountaintop experience, but you just are stuck in this valley and you realize that being in the valley isn't so bad because Jesus isn't on the mountaintop all the time. He comes down to the valley and holds your hand and walks you through what you're going through right now. I borrowed that from the reason why we started our church and called it Valley Church. So what's your story? Maybe it's somehow God provided for you. Is it someone who needs encouragement in their faith right now? Just think about your story with somebody else. Is it someone who needs to hear your story who needs encouragement in their faith? Is it someone who doesn't have faith in Jesus that needs to hear how you came to faith in Jesus or how you always were in the church? Maybe there's something to that that they just needed to hear in that moment. Who needs to hear your story? And what part of their discipleship, their growth, does your story play into their lives? Who might be stuck in their faith right now? Because you haven't shared your story. Who is discouraged in their walk with Jesus because they haven't heard the encouragement about your story? That we have yet to tell the next generation of God's mighty acts in our lives. So here's something you can do this week, okay? If you're convinced and you're like ready to go, maybe some of you are like, All right, this is good, Wes. This is really good for us to do, but now what? To share your story with someone this week. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's everyone. I'll do it too. Let's share our story with somebody else this week. Either part of your life, part of your story, or the grand sweep of your story. Maybe you get you cage someone in and get them trapped, and then you can hold them in the corner and tell them the whole story of your life. Just joking. You shouldn't do that. If they really want to go, let them go. But tell them your story. Maybe even consider sharing with someone after the gathering today. Someone who's here. Maybe that, okay, I don't think I've ever showed you with a story, but because of what Wes preached on today, let me just share a part of it with you. Because I don't know, maybe it'd be encouraging. It'd be hard for me, and maybe it's encouraging for me to do it, but maybe you need to hear it, and just in your mind, you maybe don't tell them that, but you say, let's just share stories of what God has done in our lives. As one generation tells to another, as the psalm says. And to take the challenge further, some of you may find it, you're extroverts, you find, I find this is so easy. Introverts may be a little tough, but extroverts may be like, this is so easy to do. I can do this, no problem with another Christian. To take it further, I challenge you to pray about asking someone who doesn't know Jesus if you could just share your story of how God has transformed your life. Try that. Someone in your life that doesn't know Jesus right now, maybe a stranger, I don't know, maybe that would work. You can. But we should have people that are not Christians in our lives that are in our lives that maybe should go a little deeper with who you are in Christ. To share with someone who doesn't know Jesus how God has transformed your life. I am different because of Jesus. Maybe there is someone ready to hear your story right now, and it's time. We're going to enter into a time of communion as an act of worship and a way for us to remember who it is that has given us life everlasting, who it is that has transformed our lives. But first, we're going to pray. So let's pray together. Jesus, we pray that you will use our story to influence others, that they would be influenced by your transformation of our lives, and that they would see the goodness of who you are in their lives, in our own lives because of it. As one generation commends your works to another, we pray that the legacy of Valley Church will strengthen our community and grow a desire for more people to walk in the light, to walk in the truth, to walk in love, and to see this Cowichan Valley forever changed. We pray for this all in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. We turn now to the communion table, and I think it's important for us to surrender, to confess, and to stand firm as we talked about. We can do that in an act of worship as we come to the communion table, to surrender, to confess, and to stand firm. I think it's appropriate for us just to spend a moment, just to pause, to reflect, just to have some quiet time. For you to be alone with Jesus, to remember, hey, I think it's time for me to surrender again or in a greater way, to confess the things that I know that I've done wrong and I need that forgiven, to know that it's forgiven because it is, past, present, and future. He's done it, but we need to come to him and to surrender and confess to him and to stand firm. So let's just pause in a moment of silence and remember these things. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing our prayers in our heart. We commit this time to you. In your name, amen. See, Jesus paid the price for us. We remember through the bread of his body given for us and the cup of his blood shed for us. That is good news. That is good, good news. It shows of the goodness of who he is, that he would do such a thing. All who have a personal relationship with Jesus are welcome to this table, to welcome to partake. Even if you come as a visitor today, we welcome you to join with us. So the servers are up and they're ready to go. And so what we're going to do is we're going to, from the back row, the back rows forward, come to one of the sides, whatever's convenient for you, and just take to a closest table to return to your seat, and we'll take it together. Communion is a communal thing, and we want to do this together. If you have difficulty with movement and you to manage through people and chairs and that sort of thing, just simply stay where you are and raise your hand, and someone will bring the elements to you. But in light of all this, let's stand and let's commit this time. So from the back row forward, come on, and let's, while we sing, let's take the communion together.
Jesus is calling.
Matthew 26. It says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. Let's take and eat together. Verse 27. When he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Let's drink of the cup together. Well, we're not quite done. We got one more song. Let's respond in worship. And we do recycle our cups, and Elsie is at the back, and she's got a basket if you want to make sure that these get recycled. Let's respond and sing. Respond to what we've experienced. Tell and sing of his mighty acts. Let's sing together.
Song forever and amen, and the angels.
Thank you for coming and being part of this and being Valley Church and being the story of Valley Church today. We encourage you to stick around a little longer. We purposely make our services not too long. So grab a coffee and stick around a little bit. Be the church. Share a story with somebody. It's a great opportunity to do that after we talked about it today. Share something about even just quick. It's like, hey, I just want to tell you, this happened to me and God is so good. I want to share with you about this. So stick around and do that. We would love to have that time for you to be the church, not just from you there and us up front here, but be the church together in the seats. This is important. It's really important to be the church together in many different ways, not just on Sundays. And so do that. Grab a coffee, or if you don't like coffee, grab a tea, or if you don't like tea, grab water. Just stick around and do that. Also, if you would like prayer, I'll be available. Our pastoral team, Christy and Amanda, and Elsie's there in the back to receive your communion cups to recycle, but also to pray. So if you'd like to pray with her, she would love to pray with you as well. So thanks for coming. See you back next week. Another psalm in the Psalm Mixtape series. You won't want to miss the next three. So let's do this together and go ahead and do that challenge. Talk to somebody this week. Let's do this. Okay? Thanks for coming. See you back next week. And thanks for coming. Stone already gone.
throne, all heaven sings to him alone. We watch and wait like a bride for a groom. Oh, church, arise, he's coming soon.
For years I've run the fast lane, and my treads are wearing thin. Left me on the shoulder, broken and pulled over, alone in my skin. Some things weren't my choosing. Sometimes I let the charge, chasing dreams, or so it seemed, down on Fool's Boulevard. I could use a little church right now. Love to have a little family around. I've been feeling so overwhelmed. I could use a little church right now. My cup's about as empty as this wilderness I'm in. I lost my way with the loss of love that came to a bitter end. So far from running over, so close to giving in. It's gonna take the hand. Church right now, love to have a little family around. I've been feeling so overwhelmed, I could use a little church.
steeple up on top. Ain't talking about them hot pews or that torn up parking lot. It could happen on a dirt road or a crowded coffee shop. Yeah, the church I need is the hands and feet of a God who came to love. I could use a little church right now. Love to have a little family around. I've been feeling so overwhelmed. I could use a little church right now. I could almost hear the choir singing back to when I was a child believing that nobody's too lost to get found. I could use a little church right now. I could use a little church right now.
Hands up! Goodbye!